The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Don't waste time on apps that don't work. Babbel's conversation-based teaching prepares you for real-life situations. And studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/truecrime. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/truecrime, spelled BABBEL.com/truecrime. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
All rise.
Jury entering.
Please proceed.
Kill or be killed. Kill or be killed. Kill or be killed.
The defense calls as its first witness, Virginia Vertides.
This was a case about a woman who shot and killed the person attacking her, Patrick Yohouli.
Prosecutor's position is my client murdered Yohouli in cold blood.
They were the only two people in that house that night. One of them is dead, and one of them is on trial for his murder.
What really happened in Mount Olive, New Jersey on a cold, cold March night in 2014? It began with a 911 call.
911, where's your emergency?
Somebody was breaking into my house. I didn't know who was coming into my house. I was dead.
Who else in the house?
I was alone. Who else is here?
On March 3rd, 52-year-old Virginia Vertides called 911 in a panic. There was an intruder at her home, she said. But when police got there, they found another story altogether. That intruder was, in fact, Virginia's longtime love, Patrick Yohouli.
Police arrive on scene at 10:07. They see Patrick laying there, motionless, dead. They see the gun, the .38 caliber.
So what happened? We have to know who these people are. Who was Patrick Yohouli? Who is Virginia Vertides?
I'm Erin Moriarty, 48 Hours, and this is my life of crime. Virginia Vertides is an unlikely killer. She was a suburban mother, a popular teacher, with no criminal history. So why did police arrest her that night? And why would she shoot and kill Patrick Yohouli?
I know Virginia Vertides. I've spent hundreds of hours with her. She had a high-paying corporate job. She gave it up and went to teaching. All the parents would ask for her because she was such a great teacher. A loving mother, loving daughter.
Ed Belinkas is passionate when he talks about Virginia, but then he is her defense attorney. He claims she's a victim.
He beat the hell out of her. He choked her. He looked her straight in the eyes and said he was going to kill her.
Look at the evidence. I have this woman's life in my hands.
But Matt Troiano, the prosecutor in the case, says Virginia Vertides killed Patrick Yohouli in cold blood.
This is a guy that retired as a police officer, was working on security for construction sites.
Patrick Yohouli was a retired New York police officer. At the time of his death, he was working in private security, including a stint as a bodyguard for Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. He was, as Troiano admits, a complicated man.
He drank too much and too often. But he had a big heart, he worked hard, he was loved by his family and friends, and he loved them.
His death in the front hall of Virginia's home was the last act of a drama that had been playing out for years. Since 2008, when Virginia first met Patrick, Virginia had always been a little unlucky at love. She had married three times in search of it. The first time, she married young, and it didn't last. Husband number two, Scott Fertitas, also a police officer, was the love she thought she was looking for.
Oh, she loved him very, very much.
That's Virginia's mother, Cranie Kohlhofer. She says that when the couple's children, Kelly and Billy, were young, Virginia left a high-paying job at AT&T to become a teacher so she could spend more time at home.
Virginia would do just about anything for her children, wouldn't she?
Absolutely. She was a marvelous mother.
But that marriage, Cranie says, also collapsed when Scott cheated on Virginia.
That tore her world apart. Just tore her world apart. She was never the same after that.
Jim Faulkner was Virginia's husband number three. He described the relationship as volatile and Virginia as needy.
She sent me 100 roses. She did everything in her power to get me back. She said she'll do whatever it takes. And we even went to therapy.
Do you get the impression that it's very difficult for Virginia to be without a man?
Yes, she has to have somebody at all times.
The marriage to Faulkner didn't last either, and soon Virginia was back on Match.com.
I saw an email that she was dating somebody.
Patrick Ahuli.
Yeah.
What you are about to hear is the story in Virginia Vertitas's own words. She took the stand at her murder trial in 2017, and as one of her defense attorneys led her with questions, she talked about her life with Patrick Ahuli.
How did you meet him?
I met him online. Match.com. It was a good relationship. He was very attentive.
But as Virginia tells it, the relationship with Patrick became strained.
We broke up a lot.
They fought a lot, she says. Patrick was unfaithful and at other times, jealous.
He did not like me talking to other men. It made him feel humiliated.
They even fought over taxes because Patrick hadn't paid his in years. But mostly, she says, they fought about his drinking. Virginia says there were several times when Patrick was drinking that he was violent with her.
He pushed me down on the bed. He shoved me into a wall. He threw me on the floor.
Her mother said she suspected her daughter was being abused.
A couple of times, this was towards the end, I would see bruises. They would be on her arms or her legs or whatever. And I would say, Virginia. She goes, oh, I'm just clumsy.
Still, Cranie admits that her daughter never reported any of these alleged incidents to police.
But you're convinced that he was abusive to her?
Oh, I am absolutely convinced that he was abusive to her.
Why do you think then she stayed with him?
Every time I ask her those same questions, I love him. But I would say, there's no but, Mom, I love him.
Virginia's attorney, Ed Belinka, says there was another reason.
Why did she remain silent? She had various medical issues.
Virginia struggled with an autoimmune disease. 3 months before the shooting, she went on disability from her teaching job.
She was weak, vulnerable. Gilhooly took advantage of that.
Throughout the entire relationship, Patrick Gilhooly had thrown up in her face when he abused her. I'm a cop, they're never gonna believe you.
And that's the reason, says her attorney, that Virginia panicked and then lied about why she shot her boyfriend.
The cops come running in. Get down, get down! At that point in time, while she's on 911, she's thinking to herself, after all of the beatings, over the years that he beat her and what he said to her, they're never going to believe you. She makes up a story. She lies.
Virginia told 911 and first responders initially that she thought Gahuli was an intruder when she shot him. But the truth is, she had invited him over that cold March night. He was drinking, she tells jurors, and they argued as they had so many times before. But this time, she says, was different.
I never saw his eyes look like that before. He said, "I'm gonna f-ing kill you, you f-ing." I was scared to death. I ran up the stairs and ran into the master bedroom. I went over to the bed and I reached under the mattress and I grabbed the gun. I just kept shooting. I quickly looked and he was still on the stairs, so I just kept shooting down the stairwell.
Virginia says she shot him in self-defense, but the evidence indicates there may be more to that story.
She's the ex and I'm the new, so probably there's going to be a disgruntle there.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
She's the ex and I'm the new, so probably there's going to be a disgruntle there.
That's Colleen Roper on the stand. Patrick had been seeing another woman. Virginia had learned that just weeks before the shooting and had been calling and reaching out to that new girlfriend, Colleen Roper.
I was getting prank hang-ups on my phone.
Can you approximate how many prank calls you received?
3 or 4.
I'd like to direct your attention to February 4th, 2014. Do you recall whether or not you had received some communication on Facebook?
I was getting friend requests. I didn't know who this person was because I'm very selective about who I'm friends with on Facebook. So I said, who are you?
Colleen says Patrick had told her about Virginia, but had not said that he was still seeing Virginia. So Colleen sent her this message back.
"I'm under the impression the two of you broke up. Please don't friend me again. I didn't do anything to you. Sorry."
"Take your time."
And she texts me back something like, "Do you think sleeping with my boyfriend of 6 years isn't doing anything to me?" And I said, "No, not if it's over."
Virginia's response was to tell Colleen that she had slept with Patrick that very morning. When Patrick found out that Virginia had reached out to his new girlfriend, he sent Virginia a text. "We are done. So done," he wrote. "Wish you luck. Find someone else. You can do it. Good luck." A week later, after Virginia had contacted Colleen again, Patrick left her an angry voicemail.
"Hey, psycho. Psycho woman."
It wasn't just her relationship with Patrick that was falling apart. Virginia, who was on medical leave, had petitioned the school board to return to work, and they had voted against her.
"I was very upset. I was ready to go back to school, and I missed the kids."
Virginia may have been at the end of her rope. Her daughter, Kelly, was away at college, and her son, Billy, then 16, had recently decided to move in with his father. Virginia talked with a therapist about her deep sadness on March 3rd, the very morning of the shooting.
"It was just really tough to talk about, Billy. I was heartbroken."
Later that same day, around 6 p.m., Virginia texted Patrick. Despite their problems, he had agreed to come over, and he did. Ed Belinka says Patrick had sex on his mind when he arrived.
"He had taken Viagra, which, not based on personal experience, you're going to find out, takes a while to kick in. So it had to have been planned."
The evidence shows that Patrick mixed it with something else that night.
How drunk was Patrick O'Hooley on March 3rd, 2014?
"Crazy drunk."
"What, almost three times
the legal limit?
"The
legal limit, absolutely."
"I unzippered his pants."
According to Virginia, after an attempt at sexual intimacy failed, Patrick grew frustrated.
And he kind of pushed me away and zippered up his pants and put his belt back on.
She then says she left Patrick sort of dozing off on the floor and went to get firewood at the 7-Eleven. When she returned, Patrick was gone, but then he called her.
They finally connected on a telephone call, and he was screaming at her and ranting and raving about, why did you leave me? You didn't tell me. And she's trying to calm him down. She finally convinces him to come back.
What happened next is in dispute, so listen carefully. Virginia says that Patrick returned through her front door so angry that when he slammed it, the storm door shattered, dropping glass on the mat inside.
When he came back to the house, he was a raving lunatic. And that started the rage that, to me, was building up inside of him. She sees that, she gets up, and she starts to walk away from him.
According to Ed Belinkas, the last straw for Patrick was when Virginia taunted him and said, "At least I pay my taxes."
Do you think that line is what set everything off?
Absolutely.
At least I pay my taxes.
Yep, you know, that's when he comes after her.
Earlier that evening, says Belinkas, Patrick had discovered an IRS whistleblower form that Virginia had filled out. Apparently, she planned to turn in Patrick to the federal government for not paying his taxes.
She was entering the foyer. He grabs her from behind. She's trying to get away, and he pushes her up against the front door. He grabs her by the throat and starts choking her. He looks her dead in the eye and says, "I'm gonna kill you, you."
After fighting on top of the broken glass in the foyer, Belinka says Virginia managed to escape and ran upstairs to her bedroom. And that's when, according to Belinkas, she grabbed a gun that she claimed Patrick had left under the mattress.
She reaches under, she grabs the gun, she runs out, she sticks the gun around the corner and starts firing.
Belinka says that Virginia, fearing for her life, shot at Patrick. The first shot missed, the others did not. He collapsed at the bottom of the stairs.
I sat down next to him and I kept shaking him. "Patrick, please wake up. Please wake up." Daddy wasn't waking up.
A simple case of self-defense. That's what Virginia claims. But the prosecution says the evidence shows something else.
She was lying to the jury under oath.
Basically, her defense is blame the victim.
Oh, yeah. And it's hard. It's a very one-sided argument because, you know, Patrick's not there to defend himself.
Because Virginia Vertitas took the stand, prosecutor Matt Troiano gets to question her as well.
You were angry.
No, not angry.
Troiano was determined to prove to the jury that Virginia was the real aggressor that night, that Virginia was obsessed with Patrick, that she simply couldn't accept that the relationship was over.
Why do you believe that Virginia Vertitas shot and killed Patrick Ahuli?
Because she was having problems, you know, with her son. She was having issues with work. And Patrick, the person that really she felt closest to, was just up and leaving her.
And the proof, he says, is in the text sent back and forth between the couple after Virginia first learned he had a new girlfriend.
You recall saying to him things like, "There won't be another relationship. I'll be dead first."
Yes.
Troiano asked Virginia about her attempt to win Patrick back by playing on his sympathy, claiming that she had multiple sclerosis.
At that time, did you specifically know that you had MS?
I specifically believed I had MS.
I understand that. But you didn't tell him that you believe you had it. You told him, in fact, that I do have it.
Yes.
And when that tactic didn't work, Troiano says Virginia tried to lure him with sex.
Did you ever ask him to come and say that it was just friends with benefits?
Yes.
By March 3rd, Patrick may finally have had enough. His friends and family say that he went to Virginia's that evening to end things with her once and for all.
You may have a seat, sir. Please.
You're listening to Patrick's brother, Paul Gahuli.
And he said to me that, "This is it. I can't do this anymore." And he also said to me that he wanted to discuss with her some tax situation.
But Patrick's brother also supports a significant part of Virginia's story.
And why would he talk about that tax situation with my client if you know based on your conversation?
On prior conversations, he had told me that he was worried about Virginia talking to the IRS about a tax situation.
Belinka says it's more proof that it was Patrick's unpaid taxes that sparked the fatal fight.
He had beaten her that night. He had threatened to kill her that night.
But was there a physical fight that night at all? Matt Troiano believes that Virginia's injuries are self-inflicted and shows the jury a video taken the night of the shooting when Virginia is at the police station and she appears to be scratching herself.
So when the state says that she created those injuries, what do you say?
Bull crap, you know? How about the injury to the throat? When did she create that?
If she did one, she did all.
You believe that?
Patrick Gilhooly was a big guy. If what she says is true, she would have looked beat up really, really bad.
And there is also this. If Patrick had broken the glass door in anger and struggled with Virginia on top of the shards of glass, why doesn't Virginia have cuts and slashes on her feet or on her body?
You know, you hear about essentially this death struggle that happens in the middle of this foyer, but there's no cuts from glass. There's none of that.
The prosecution says Patrick didn't break that storm door in anger, that the door was instead shattered by one of the bullets.
Patrick didn't break that glass. I don't think that the evidence supports that at all.
Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the best-selling true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
That door and how it shattered is crucial to this trial. If Patrick broke it, that supports Virginia's claim that Patrick was enraged. But if the bullet shattered it, then where's the evidence of abuse? We put Virginia's story to the test by hiring independent forensic expert Jim Molinaro. We bought a storm door nearly identical to the one in Virginia Vertitas's home.
So are almost all storm doors now that are used made of tempered glass?
Yes.
What makes tempered glass different?
Tempered glass is stronger than regular glass. Generally speaking, it's about four times stronger.
When the defendant says that she heard the door break after Patrick Gilhooly slammed it, what's your first reaction to that?
The likelihood of that happening, I wouldn't expect that to happen.
Okay, do you want to try?
We can give it a try, yes.
Okay.
We tried slamming it over and over again. And when that didn't work, we tried kicking it.
Do you believe the defendant when she says that door, she heard the door break before the shooting?
No.
Molinaro believes the door was shattered by a bullet, and here's why. There was still glass left in the door in Virginia's home after the shooting, and it contained what Molinaro says are telltale clues.
Radial fracture lines will only occur on the first break of the window.
We asked him to show us what happens to an unbroken storm door when it's hit by a bullet.
Now, you're not going to be actually firing the gun.
No, I'm going to turn this over to Jeff Branion from the Gwinnett County Police Department.
Eyes and ears in place. Everybody behind the 15-yard line.
You ready to go look?
Let's go take a look.
Oh, my gosh.
You can see they point directly to where the bullet perforated the glass.
I mean, this looks almost identical to the photos in evidence.
Yes, exactly. We couldn't have asked for better results.
This is proof, says the state, that the bullet was the only thing that broke the glass that night, that Patrick never shattered it in a rage. And there's another witness who supports that theory, Patrick Gilhooly's
own daughter.
Is Mr. Triano calling your next witness, please?
At this time, the state would call Jennifer Gilhooly.
Jennifer was going to be the star witness in the case.
Do you know an individual by the name of Virginia Vertitas?
I do.
And do you see Ms. Vertitas in court here today?
I do.
Could you identify her, please?
She's sitting at the table right over there.
Stipulate she's identified my client.
Jennifer Gilhooly, Patrick's oldest daughter, was as close to an eyewitness as you could have.
Jennifer, I'd like to direct your attention to March 3rd, 2014. Do you recall that day?
I do.
That night, Jennifer got three calls from her father in just 4 minutes, right before he was shot.
The first phone call, when I picked up, he was screaming, "She's hitting me, she's hitting me." And I kept hearing him screaming, "Stop, stop." He called me again. I just heard yelling. I didn't really hear words.
The phone calls proved, Troiano says, that Patrick was not attacking Virginia. It was the other way around.
Did you communicate with your father again?
I said, "Dad, I'm coming." He's like, "It's too far. You won't get here in time." And the next thing I know is I heard three loud shots. I heard him say, "Holy, she's shooting." And the phone call went dead. I'm sorry.
Jennifer's testimony is damning, and what the jury won't hear, because the judge won't allow it, is that Patrick may have been abusive in the past.
He was suspended from the New York police force for beating his first wife.
Newspaper articles from 1996 tell the story of an alleged assault where Patrick slammed his then-wife's head against the wall and a sink. Patrick was charged with misdemeanor assault, and he was suspended from the force without pay. But the charges were later dropped. The jurors heard none of that. They just heard this.
He told me that at one point he hit his wife, got in trouble with the police, but that he really just got a slap on the wrist.
Let me tell you something. If you put your hands on a woman once, you can do it again.
It's a tough case for the jurors. Virginia Vertitas is credible, and she's emotional on the stand. But did she shoot Patrick Gilhooly out of fear that night or out of jealousy?
The evidence is clear that my client was in fear of her life. If she didn't kill him, he would have killed her, period.
This is not self-defense. This is a murder.
Was it really that crystal clear? I asked the prosecutor, Matt Troiano, whether it's possible that there was a terrible fight that night.
Patrick Gilhooly does have at least one incident in his background. Doesn't that make you wonder if, in fact, there was some kind of physical altercation with Virginia?
No. No, I will be as emphatic as I can be. No. There was an incident with his wife a very long time ago. And that wife, who was his ex-wife at the time of the trial, sat through that trial every single day.
After almost 7 hours of deliberations,
the jury has reached a verdict. Madam Forelady, with regard to count one, what is the verdict of the jury?
Guilty.
Oh my gosh!
Guilty of first-degree murder. 2 months later, Virginia Vertitas was sentenced.
Ms. Vertitas, please stand for a moment on the charge of first-degree murder.
Virginia was sentenced to 30 years in prison.
You must serve the full 30 years in prison without the possibility of parole.
Do you think you will at some point see Virginia walk out of prison?
Before I die? I hope so. One of the things she keeps telling me is, "Mom, don't leave me." And I hope I don't have to before she gets out.
I've thought a lot about Virginia Vertitas since I first covered her trial in 2017. Here's my theory. Sometimes I wonder if Virginia had actually planned to take her own life on that cold, cold night in March, but then instead turned the gun on Patrick Gilhooly when he chose to walk out on her. Will we ever know? Well, we may. In March 2020, a state appellate court overturned her conviction, ruling that the judge had erred in the instructions he had given the jury. So, Virginia Vertitas will get a new trial, a new chance, new jury to convince. I'm Erin Moriarty, 48 Hours, and that's my life of crime. A special thanks to the 48 Hours team, as well as my producers Sam Egan, Alan Pang, and CBS Audio. Subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter and Facebook at CBS Life of Crime. We'll see you next time.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Take true crime with you on your shirt, mug, or hat with official 48 Hours merchandise at ParamountShop.com. You can take 20% off with code HOURS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all 48 Hours products with code HOURS20 at ParamountShop.com.